Four, three, two, one. Solomon prays the high priestly prayer of dedication over the first temple. And he says in chapter 8, verse 25, "And now, O God of Israel, keep the further promise that you made to your servant, my father David. Your line on the throne of Israel shall never end, if only your descendants will look their way and walk before me as you have walked before me. Now, therefore, O God of Israel, let the promise that you made to your servant, my father David, be fulfilled. But will Hashem really dwell on earth? Even the heavens to their uttermost reaches cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built? Yet turn, Hashem, my God, to the prayer and supplication of your servant, and hear the cry and prayer which your servant offers before you this day. May your eyes be open day and night toward this house, toward the place of which you have said, my name shall abide there. May you heed the prayers which your servant will offer toward this place. What is the significance of the temple? What is the place of the temple in the final closing chapters prior to the return of Jesus Christ? Why should we study about the temple and understand its meaning and significance? Listen in as we unpack this high priestly prayer of Solomon's dedication of the temple. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 11th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 6, 16 to 27. The Kohen shall present them before Hashem and offer the sin offering and the burnt offering. He shall offer the ram as a sacrifice of well-being to Hashem, together with the basket of unleavened cakes. The Kohen shall also offer the meal offerings and the libations. The Nazarite shall then shave his consecrated hair at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and take the locks of his consecrated hair and put them on the fire that is under the sacrifice of well-being. The Kohen shall take the shoulder of the ram when it has been boiled, or one unleavened cake from the basket and one unleavened wafer, and place them on the hands of the Nazarite after he has shaved his consecrated hair. The Kohen shall elevate them as an elevation offering before Hashem. And this shall be a sacred donation for the Kohen, in addition to the breast of the elevation offering and the thigh of gift offering. After that, the Nazarite may drink wine. Such is the obligation of a Nazarite, except that he who vows an offering to God of what he can afford beyond his Nazarite requirements must do exactly according to the vow that he has made beyond his obligation as a Nazarite. Hashem spoke to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, thus shall you bless the people of Israel. Say to them, Hashem bless you and protect you. Hashem deal kindly and graciously with you. Hashem bestow his favor upon you and grant you peace. Thus they shall link my name with the people of Israel, and I will bless them." 1 Kings 8, 1 to 60. Then Solomon convoked the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the ancestral chieftains of the Israelites before King Solomon in Jerusalem to bring up the ark from the city of David, that is, Zion. All the men of Israel gathered before King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, that is, the seventh month. When all the elders of Israel had come, the Kohanim lifted the ark and carried up the ark of Hashem. Then the Kohanim and the Leviim brought the tent of meeting and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. Meanwhile, King Solomon and the whole community of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen in such abundance that they could not be numbered or counted. The Kohanim brought the ark to its place underneath the wings of the cherubim in the shrine of the house in the Holy of Holies. For the cherubim had their wings spread out over the place of the ark, so that the cherubim shielded the ark and its poles from above. the poles projected so that the ends of the poles were visible in the sanctuary in front of the shrine, but they could not be seen outside, and there they remain to this day. There was nothing inside the ark but the two tablets of stone which Moses placed there at Horeb, when Hashem made a covenant with all the Israelites after their departure from the land of Egypt. When the Kohanim came out of the sanctuary, for the cloud had filled the house of Hashem, and the Kohanim were not able to remain and perform the service because of the cloud, for the presence of Hashem filled the house of Hashem. Then Solomon declared, Hashem has chosen to abide in a thick cloud. I have now built for you a stately house, a place where you may dwell forever. Then, with the whole congregation of Israel standing, the king faced about and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. He said, Praise be Hashem, the God of Israel, who has fulfilled with deeds the promise he made to my father David. For he said, Ever since I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city among all the tribes of Israel for building a house where my name might abide, but I have chosen David to rule my people Israel. Now my father David had intended to build a house for the name of Hashem, the God of Israel. But Hashem said to my father David, As regards your intention to build a house for my name, you did right to have that intention. However, you shall not build the house yourself. Instead, your son, the issue of your loins, shall build the house for my name. And Hashem has fulfilled the promise that he made. I have succeeded my father David and have ascended the throne of Israel, as Hashem promised. I have built the house for the name of Hashem, the God of Israel. And I have set a place there for the ark, containing the covenant which Hashem made with our fathers when he brought them out from the land of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of Hashem in the presence of the whole community of Israel. He spread the palms of his hands toward heaven, and he said, O God of Israel, in the heavens above and on the earth below, there is no God like you, who keep your gracious covenant with your servants when they walk before you in wholehearted devotion. You who have kept the promises you made to your servant, my father David, fulfilling with deeds the promise you made, as is now the case. And now, O God of Israel, keep the further promise that you made to your servant, my father David. Your line on the throne of Israel shall never end, if only your descendants will look to their way and walk before me as you have walked before me. Now, therefore, O God of Israel, let the promise that you made to your servant, my father David, be fulfilled. But will Hashem really dwell on earth? Even the heavens to their uttermost reaches cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built. Yet turn, Hashem, my God, to the prayer and supplication of your servant, and hear the cry and prayer which your servant offers before you this day. May your eyes be opened day and night toward this house, toward the place of which you have said, My name shall abide there. May you heed the prayers while your servant will offer toward this place. And when you hear the supplications which your servant and your people Israel offer toward this place, give heed to your heavenly abode. Give heed and pardon. Whenever one man commits an offense against another, and the latter utters an imprecation to bring a curse upon him, and comes with his imprecation before your altar in this house, oh, hear in heaven and take action to judge your servants, condemning him who is in the wrong and bringing down the punishment of his conduct on his head, vindicating him who is in the right by rewarding him according to his righteousness. Should your people Israel be routed by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and then turn back to you and acknowledge your name, and they offer prayer and supplication to you in this house, oh, hear in heaven and pardon the sin of your people Israel, and restore them to the land that you gave to their fathers. Should the heavens be shut up, and there be no rain because they have sinned against you, and then they pray toward this place and acknowledge your name and repent of their sins when you enter them, oh, hear in heaven and pardon the sin of your servants your people Israel, after you have shown them the proper way in which they are to walk, and send down rain upon the land which you gave to your people as their heritage. So too, if there is a famine in the land, if there is pestilence, blight, mildew, locusts, or caterpillars, or if an enemy oppresses them in any of the settlements of the land, in any plague and in any disease, in any prayer or supplication offered by any person among all your people Israel, each of whom knows his own affliction, when he spreads his palms towards this house, O hear in your heavenly abode, and pardon and take action. Render to each man according to his ways as you know his heart to be, for you alone know the hearts of all men, so that they may revere you all the days that they live on the land that you gave to our fathers. Or if a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a distant land for the sake of your name, for they shall hear about your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm when he comes to pray toward this house. O hear in your heavenly abode and grant all that the foreigner asks you for. Thus, all the peoples of the earth will know your name and revere you, as does your people Israel, and they will recognize that your name is attached to this house that I have built. When your people take the field against their enemy by whatever way you send them, and they pray to Hashem in the direction of the city which you have chosen, and of the house which I have built to your name, O hear in heaven their prayer and supplication, and uphold their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and you are angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and their captors carry them off to an enemy land, near or far, and then they take it to heart in the land to which they have been carried off, and they repent and make supplication to you in the land of their captors, saying, We have sinned. We have acted perversely. We have acted wickedly. And they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of the enemies who have carried them off. And they pray to you in the direction of their land, which you gave to their fathers, of the city which you have chosen, and of the house which I have built to your name. Oh, give heed in your heavenly abode to their prayer and supplication. Uphold their cause. And pardon your people who have sinned against you for all the transgressions that they have committed against you. Grant them mercy in the sight of their captors, that they may be merciful to them. For they are your very own people that you freed from Egypt, from the midst of the iron furnace. May your eyes be open to the supplication of your servant and the supplication of your people Israel, and may you heed them whenever they call upon you. For you, O Hashem, have set them apart for yourself from all the peoples of the earth as your very own, as you promised through Moses your servant when you freed our fathers from Egypt. When Solomon finished offering to Hashem all this prayer and supplication, he rose from where he had been kneeling in front of the altar of Hashem, his hands spread out toward heaven. He stood and in a loud voice blessed the whole congregation of Israel. Praised be Hashem, who has granted a haven to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not a single word has failed of all the gracious promises that he made through his servant Moses. May Hashem our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never abandon or forsake us. May he incline our hearts to him, that we may walk in all his ways and keep the commandments, the laws, and the rules which he enjoined upon our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have offered in supplication before Hashem, be close to Hashem, our God, day and night, that he may provide for his servant and for his people Israel, according to each day's needs, to the end that all the peoples of the earth may know that Hashem alone is Hashem, there is no other. And may you be wholehearted with Hashem, our God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments, even as now. The king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before Hashem. Solomon offered 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep as sacrifices of well-being to Hashem. Thus the king and all the Israelites dedicated the house of Hashem. That day the king consecrated the center of the court that was in front of the house of Hashem, for it was there that he presented the burnt offerings, the meal offerings, and the fat parts of the offerings of well-being, because the bronze altar that was before Hashem was too small to hold the burnt offerings, the meal offerings, and the fat parts of the offerings of well-being. So Solomon and all Israel with him, a great assembly coming from Lebo Hamath to the Wadi of Egypt, observed the feast at that time before Hashem our God, 7 days and again 7 days, 14 days in all. On the 8th day he let the people go. They bade the king goodbye and went to their homes, joyful and glad of heart over all the goodness that Hashem had shown to his servant David and his people Israel. Acts 7:51-8:13. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miraculous signs which were done. Psalm 129:1-8. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withers afore it grows up, wherewith the mower fills not his hand, for he that binds sheaves with his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. I'd like to speak to you today from our reading from Numbers chapter 6, and then we're going to jump into the high priestly prayer that Solomon prayed to dedicate the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8. But the verses I want to jump into is from Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 to 26. Speak to Aaron and his sons, thus shall you bless the people of Israel, and say to them, Hashem bless you and protect you. Hashem deal kindly and graciously with you. Hashem bestow his favor upon you and grant you peace. Thus they shall link my name with the people of Israel, and I will bless them. The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. The priestly blessing uttered by the Kohanim contains three parts. It begins with a blessing for prosperity and safety, continues with a blessing for Hashem's grace, and climaxes with a blessing of peace. Indeed, the sages of the Mishnah taught that God found no vessel to contain his blessings other than peace. In Israel, the priestly blessing is recited publicly each day by individuals possessing a family tradition that they are among the descendants of Aaron, a group whose lineage has been verified in recent years by DNA testing. We pray every day for the total fulfillment of the priestly blessing when the Jewish people will live peacefully in Eretz Israel. And this is a blessing that, of course, can be prayed over any believer in the God of Israel, in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in believers in Jesus Christ. So it's not only for the Jewish people, but all who are believers in the God of Israel. Now I want to jump into 1 Kings chapter 8. And this is an amazing prayer that Solomon prays over the temple. And what we see in this prayer is the centrality of the temple, that this is the place where God chose to dwell and to inhabit, and that basically Solomon is saying, if we are in exile and we've been wicked and we've been sinful, and then we repent and we cry out and we return to you and we turn towards the temple, towards the east, may you hear our prayer. And may you bring us out of exile and bring us back to the land. He prays many different, very specific prayers in this temple dedication prayer. And one verse I want to jump into is chapter 8, verse 41. Or if a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a distant land for the sake of your name, for they shall hear about your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when it comes to pray toward this house, O hear in your heavenly abode and grant all that the foreigner asks you for. Thus, all the peoples of the earth will know your name and revere you, as does your people Israel. And they will recognize that your name is attached to this house that I have built. So the house, the temple, is connected to the people, and it is connected to the land. Now, the Israel Bible commentary to this verse that I just read reads as follows. King Solomon dedicated the first Beit HaMikdash, or the first temple, on the festival of Sukkot, and in his inaugural address asked Hashem to hear the prayers of foreigners who would come to pray towards this house. The first temple was constructed with the assistance of members of Gentile nations, under the leadership of Hiram of Tyre. Similarly, the second temple was built thanks to the permission and encouragement of Cyrus of Persia. And the third temple will one day also be built with the participation of righteous non-Jews. This international participation is necessary, as the Beit HaMikdash is meant to be a house of prayer for all nations. King Solomon's dedication speech has been memorialized on an imposing glass monument standing tall at the Western Wall today, etched with his universal message to inspire visitors and worshipers from all countries, nationalities, and backgrounds. So there will be a third temple one day. It is spoken of and prophesied in the closing chapters of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 40, 41, 42, and also this final earthly temple is spoken of in the book of Revelation. And there are parallel chapters in the book of Revelation that parallel the final closing chapters of Ezekiel. So literally, God's name is embossed or stamped into the land of Israel in Jerusalem. And if you look down on Jerusalem from above, you can see the letter Sheen, which looks kind of like a W from above. And it's from three different river valleys, the Kidron Valley and two other valleys. And those three valleys looks like a Sheen or a W. And Sheen is El Shaddai. It points to El Shaddai, which is one of the names of God. And so when Jesus returns, he's going to rule and reign from his temple in Jerusalem, from Mount Zion, not in Boston or Seattle or Portland or Amsterdam or New York or anywhere else. He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. There's something very set apart and holy and special about that place. And so, this is a powerful prayer that Solomon prays, and the temple and its destruction, it was part of the loss of the soul of the Jewish people. And though the Shekinah, the glory of God, dwelled in that first temple, as we're going to see tomorrow when we read the next chapter about how the Shekinah, the Shekinah glory, came to be in this temple, that presence of God was never in the second temple. It was only in the first temple. But one day, this temple will be rebuilt, the third temple, and there will come a time when Jesus himself will occupy, and the glory of God will be in that third temple. Okay, have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Yevarekah Adonai Vishmerekah Yayeh Adonai Panavilakah Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Eleka Vayasein Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.